Okay, well, River family, and those now watching online, we are blessed to have a very special guest ministry bringing the message this morning. And as I've already mentioned, that is our dear sister in Christ, Vicki Gish. Yes, give her a big hand once again. Now, I know almost everybody in here, many of you know Vicki and appreciate her ministry, but some might be meeting her for the first time. And just an abbreviated intro for that purpose. Vicki presently serves as a consultant and ministry coordinator with Pastor Terry Fred in Destiny Center Church. That's her home church here in Reno. She also serves on the board of directors for the Nevada House of Prayer in Reno and serves as a ministry advisor for us here at the River. Beyond her professional certifications in counseling, Vicki is also gifted as a Holy Spirit anointed teacher. This, combined with gifts of intercessory prayer and prophetic insight, brings a powerful healing word from Christ. We found that to be true in our lives personally. Stacy and I have been greatly blessed by her ministry to us and our family over the many years, and to our church leaders here as well. One of the things that I just want you to know, a backdrop of Vicki, she'll come down here and pray in the sanctuary over our congregation. On her own time, she will come down just to be a blessing to us. That's a lot to me. It means a lot. I hope it means a lot to you as well. Interceding for what God is wanting to do here. So we're grateful for that investment of her time and her prayers. Today, we want to give you a chance to hear from her. I call it her annual address. And so this is a great time to welcome her as she comes, please, with the word the Lord's put on her heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Thank you.
That's the right height.
I believe so. Good morning, y'all.
Bless you.
Well, let's pray. Jesus, we just love you this morning. I thank you for each one of your beloved sons and daughters in this house and online. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you envelop each one of us with your spirit. Would you anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, our eyes to see you and what you're ministering today. And Lord, would you tenderize our heart to receive the word of the Lord, the encouragement of the Lord that has already even been ushered in through this precious worship this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to try out some new glasses today, so we'll see how they work for doing everything that we're doing. So this morning, the message is Covenant God, Fully Convinced of His Promises. And I love this picture, and I really especially appreciated the worship this morning and ending with the Jehovah Jireh worship. Wasn't that fun? Right? Like, if that didn't make you want to get up and do a little jig, then you have not got enough of the Holy Spirit in you. You got to get more. But this picture reminded me of my time in Israel. How many in the room have been to Israel so far? Yeah, we've got some. I encourage you, put that on your bucket list. That is one of the most beautiful experiences that I've ever had in my life, to be blessed to go back in 2019 to Israel. And Pastor Rod, I believe, mentioned this before in some previous messages, that as a church, we love Israel, right? The Lord says, blessed are those who pray for Israel and pray for Jerusalem, because you will be blessed, right? So I thought this picture was beautiful because, for those of you who follow the Hebrew calendar, we just stepped into the year 5785. Amen? So it's not quite New Year's for us in America. We're 2025, but as believers, we can step in just like the Jewish people and celebrate that calendar year. We're almost like forerunners to what's happening. And the number 5785, it's great because it starts with a five and ends with a five. And the number five stands for grace. So it's a year of double grace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need, I don't know about y'all, but I need the double grace anointing in my life. And it really is a grace to overcome. How many need a grace to overcome? Right? We all need a grace to overcome. Our salvation is by covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. And so the culmination of his covenant and promises can be seen all throughout the word, but definitely I wanted to focus to begin with on Revelation 22, the last book, the last chapter of the book of the Bible. The text has a familiar theme that y'all have been discussing all year long, the Spirit and the Bride say come, right? And so I wanted to begin with the ending in mind. The Lord reminded me how when I was younger, I used to love getting a book, and I would always go to the last chapter and the last few pages because I was not patient enough to see, like, what's the ending going to be? I was a little too anxious. But if that's not your style of reading, that's okay. But I do encourage you, sometimes it's good to know what the Word of God says at the end of the book, because at the end, it's going to give you the fullness of who he is and what his plans are and what he's coming to do. So here in Revelation 22, it says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." That's good news, right? A reward kind of depends, because as we'll go on, it depends on what rewards you're going to receive. I love this scripture in Jeremiah because I believed it really supported what Revelations is saying. And the prophet Jeremiah says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So that ties into the reward that we're all going to receive when Jesus returns. And earlier, I believe it's the scripture right before, it says, the heart is wicked. It says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? Who can know it except the Lord? And so I recognize with the Lord, you can't cook the books with the Lord, right? We can't cook the books with the Lord. We have a friend of mine in the room, and I believe she has such a gifting as a CPA, and I was thinking of her and thinking, you really can't get past much past her. She's a little bit like Holy Spirit, right? He's the kingdom CPA. You're not going to be able to talk your way in to the kingdom of heaven when it's all said and done. So it's important that we understand the end and what he expects, right? Solomon encourages us to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life, right? Revelation goes on to say, oops, can you go back one? Yeah. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So Jesus is telling us who he is in covenant. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So those who do his commandments, we want to be those who are obedient. And in Revelation 21, it says, "I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And my son is also inclusive of us as daughters, but son in the Bible is referencing we are his inheritance, and he is our inheritance. It goes on to say, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. But there shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Right? You want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Right? That's the end of the story. When we all stand before him, when the trumpet sounds, right? And he's like, "Oh, wait a second. Yep, I see Tom Weiss right here. He's listed." We want our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if that's not you today, I would imagine I'm speaking to the choir. So perhaps you're here and you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you haven't, I want you to hear not Vicky's voice speaking to you, but the compelling of the Holy Spirit that would say, come in, because he wants to see your name written. And I promise you, you're going to want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because right here, it'll even give clarifying and even more sobering words. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It seems as if I'm not starting with a lot of great news this morning, but it's excellent news if you know King Jesus as your Lord and Savior. With these sobering words, I pray that you would be fully convinced of his promises in this text in Revelations and throughout the word. For those who know him, the Bible talks about to know him as yada. Those who know him, that means intimacy. Like he sees in us and we see inside of him and he knows us. Because the word very clearly clarifies that there will be those at the end and they will say, but Lord, I did this in your name. I healed people in your name. I prophesied in your name. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. So let's not miss out on the seriousness of the sobriety of these words. He's looking to know us, and great is the reward if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But oh, how dreadful and how eternally damning for any that reject him. But he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Say it with me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't it beautiful? It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it, to gain it, but we can go before him and confess, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent. I want to receive you in my life and make you Lord of all. Do you hear the beckoning, really the appeal through the word? I love the word because it's alive and active. It does not get boring, y'all. Like when I was reading and preparing for this message, I thought, I wish I just had more time so I could spend the amount of time, because it's so exciting. Because I don't know about y'all, but you never want to leave once you get into it, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation just starts opening up before you, and the dimensions of the word start being more clear and even more precise to whatever situation or circumstance you're going through. I think it's always wise here to recall Moses' words from Numbers 23. He says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not a human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? And has he ever promised and not carried it through? These are the words of the Lord. He's going to carry through what he speaks about in Revelation. However, there's a way to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? He is the ultimate covenant, that God the Father is the ultimate covenant giver, and Jesus fulfilled that covenant. And that invitation of covenant with God to all humanity, and it is presented to us in the person of Jesus Christ, right? He died on the cross for our sins so that we didn't have to pay the ultimate price. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. And it cost him everything. And the word is clear, it will cost you everything. You will have to lay down your life. So it's not you who lives, but Christ that lives in you. And I love the words of C.S. Lewis here, where he shares, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Can I encourage you this morning? If you haven't received the Lord, if you don't know him as your Savior, I pray if you're here or if you're online, that you would find someone and talk with them. Pastor Rod in this church gives out the book, Why Jesus? And it's such a beautiful book. And it helps explain the journey of the cross in Christ and starting that journey So it's not how you begin, but it's how you end the journey. I felt the Lord was really wanting us to talk about his covenant, and we're going to turn back in time now where the covenant of God was fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. And where it all began was the Abrahamic covenant. Many of you are familiar with the story of Abraham. I truly encourage you, if you get a chance this week and in the weeks to come, spend some time back in the book of Genesis. We started at the end of the book, but we're going to go back to the beginning. And my Bible just initiated these little bullet points, gave me a synopsis, and I thought it was a good overview of the story of Abraham. So many of you remember how God initiated his covenant with Abraham. He was with his family and with his father. And the Lord said, hey, get out from this country, from your family, and from your father's house. That's pretty strong words, right? I remember when I was in Texas and the Lord called me to Nevada. And he sent me to a scripture, I believe it's in Mark 10, 29 and 30. And he said, whoever leaves father and mother and homes, right, for my sake, he will give. Sometimes the Lord will give you a mandate to go. And he's looking for those who will say yes. And Abraham, fortunately, was one who said yes. So Abram went with his family to Haran to live. And then he left at age 75, and they went to Canaan, the land of Canaan. Afterwards, you see, I always love the story of Lot, his nephew. Anybody have family members that when you're going to serve up, let's say, pie, they always get the best piece, right? I'm kind of that person, y'all, especially if it's sweets. But I laugh because Lot was looking at the land, and he wanted to pick the best piece for him, right? The best portion. But God is so beautiful that in his promise, he promised the land the length and the width of the land of Hebron to Abraham. Abram just humbly wanted his nephew to pick, and the Lord still blessed his lot. Amen? The Lord still wants to bless your lot. If you believe, you got the short end of the stick, so to speak, or maybe you got the small slice of pie, right? He still wants to bless your land. Abram, throughout this story, as you read from Genesis, it's around Genesis 12 through about 22. You see all through the time of Abram's walk with God that he would build altars unto the Lord. The altars would be present, and they would be there for a burnt offering unto the Lord to call on his name. It was a place of worship and prayer and honor to God. I want you to remember that this year, because I believe that this year will be a year of altars. I believe it's a year that we have the opportunity to make an altar for the Lord and come before him with our praise and our worship. It may be a year where the Lord says, like the story of Abraham, I want you to come lay this on the altar. I know it's your heart's desire. I know this is your greatest love. But will you come lay this on the altar? And we have an opportunity to go up to the high places this year. I believe not only individually and maybe collectively as the body of Christ, but even as a nation, that if you look at the story in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, there were wonderful kings and righteous kings, a few, but there were a lot of wicked kings. There were a lot of altars that were built in those ages and those times that were altars unto other gods. There were wickedness. There was worship to false idols. Some of you remember those stories. I love the story of Josiah because even though he was young, the Lord anointed him to go tear down all the wicked altars, right? And resurrect the right type of worship unto the Lord. I believe this is going to be a year in the nation of America that we have the opportunity personally and collectively as a nation to tear down some altars that have been to some false idols and some false gods that have allowed the enemy to rule and reign in ways that we do not want him to. But the Lord is raising a righteous remnant in each one of you, right? In me. And he's saying, will you be like Abraham, and will you come up to the high place with me, and will you let me survey your heart and your mind? The Bible says, see if there's any wicked way in me, right? How many of you are willing to get on the altar this year with the Lord and let him do a spiritual TSA survey of you and say, Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me? Because I want to come and present myself as an offering on the altar. I want to not live in a way or respond in ways that dishonor you. And I believe the Lord is giving his bride the authority this year in 5785 to come into that covenant even in a greater way. Amen? The Abrahamic covenant continues. I love this part where it says God ratified his covenant with Abram. So basically, even in that, the scripture says, God tells Abram, don't be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Can I tell you this year, when the Lord's calling you up to the high places in your life or your family or your city to tear some constructs down that the Lord did not build and he does not desire to be there, he wants to remind you of this word that he told Abram. Be not afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And I think what's so beautiful about the covenant as you read it and it's ratified is the Lord voluntarily made himself lower than Abram for the establishment of the covenant. Now, if you know something about the history around covenants that were made, that wasn't normal. It typically was the lesser person who lowered themselves and said, okay, may what has happened to this burnt offering, like the cutting of the animals, may that happen to me and my household if I am not true to the covenant, right? But here we see God, and isn't this a foretelling of what Jesus did on the cross? Jesus, who made himself lower, he became man so that we could have salvation, right? And I love the word in the New King James Version speaks about the Lord God cut covenant. I believe, I just submit this to you as my prophetic sense, I believe the Lord is getting ready to cut covenant with America in a new way. Amen. We need a new covenant, right? Not a new covenant as in the old covenant wasn't good enough, but as Americans and as the people of this country, we need to respond to the God who gave everything for us and start to respond rightly to that covenant. And I believe if we're willing, he wants to cut some things out of our nation that have been defiling to the land, right? Many of you have been praying for a long time this scripture. I believe it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He says the promise there is I want to heal your land. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit is wanting to cut some new things in and out of our lives because he wants to bring a wholeness and a healing to us in a way that we've never experienced. And so I really encourage you, as you go back and reflect on this word and the words of the Lord through the story of Abraham this year and through this next couple of weeks, be open to the Spirit, to the words, how he speaks in that still small voice of what maybe he's wanting to cut out of your life. Many of you know when he turned 99, God renewed his covenant with Abram, and that's when he changed his name to Abraham, and Sarah's name, or Sarai to Sarah. The word talks about, in some of the research I did, it even said the name of God, one of the names of God is Yahweh. And so in the research I was doing, it was saying that when you say Yahweh, usually Yah is the exhale, and Way is the inhale. And so when the Lord God came to renew his covenant with Abram, who was no longer able to have children, and Sarai was not either, that he breathed the Holy Spirit. That's the way. The number five stands for the name He in the Hebrew alphabet. And so He is the way, the breath of God. So he breathed life into Abraham and Sarah so that they could have the grace to overcome, right? The grace to overcome barrenness in their lives. And the confirmation of the covenant was seen through his obedience. That's seen in Genesis 22. We'll get to that. But all of this is I think, a prophetic significance. There's prophetic significance this year, I believe, in reflecting on God's covenant. He wants to you to reflect on your covenant with him through his son Jesus, but there's something in the story of Abraham that he wants to bring out to you. Maybe it's the way Abraham responded. Maybe it's the way God responded, and he's trying to speak something and superimpose this story to your unique situation and help you see that he's the Lord that you want to hear from. He's the Lord that's waiting to hear from you. He may say, come out and meet me in another place, just like he did Abraham. God wants to meet us in the hay. Let us prioritize him this year. There we go. So in Genesis 22, and Pastor Rod mentioned this last week when he was talking about the sovereignty of God and evil and how sometimes God allows us to go through tests. How many in the room have been through a few tests recently? Yeah, yeah. He's looking. He never leads us into a place of temptation. He always makes a way of exit. But he's always looking to see, and I believe hold a mirror up and show us what's really in our hearts. So he said, take your son Isaac, whom you love, to the land of Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering on the mountain. And I love this part in the story, and I didn't list it here, but I wanted to share it. It says, the lad, this is Abraham's response. They went, had a couple of young men with him, and as they're getting ready to go up to the mountain that the Lord's highlighting, he says, the lad and I will go yonder. Don't y'all like that, yonder? It's like a Texas slang. I think they might have been from Texas. And worship. So we're going to go yonder. We're going to worship, and we're going to come back. I don't know about y'all, but when I read that, I was like, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, pause, Vicky. We're going to go, which is obedience. When God said, Abraham, go, Abraham did not delay. Many of you know delayed obedience is disobedience, right? I can't imagine what that must have been like for Abraham, who had just waited his whole life. He heard from God. He believed God that this was the promise. And now God, who he knows is not for child sacrifice, he actually condemns it, is saying, bring me your son and sacrifice him. So he obeys. And I love also that he worshiped, because that's a heart of submission. And the challenge is when you're in the test and God's asking something of you, the first challenge is, will you obey? But I think the second challenge is, will you worship him in the midst of the ambiguity, in the midst of the dissonance of the situation and circumstance? And I would imagine there had to be much dissonance in Abraham's heart and mind when he was experiencing this. And it says, and we will come back. I love that statement the most, almost, because that's a statement of faith. Now, Abraham knew what God had said, come and give your son as a sacrifice. But he made a statement of faith, we'll be back, right? And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your situation, and perhaps in the journey of your test, I believe the Lord wants you to declare, and I don't know what that statement of faith is for each one in the room, but I believe there's a declaration of faith that the Lord wants to stir up inside of you and get you in agreement with the word so you can start professing that faith over your situation and circumstance. Amen? And Isaac said along the journey, he said, God, or he said, Dad, like, where's the burnt offering? And I love Abraham's response. He said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb. Aren't you glad that God provided for us the lamb of Jesus Christ so that we didn't have to take on and die for the sins that we've all committed? Amen. The scripture in Genesis highlights this. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time as Abraham is getting ready to take his own son because he's being obedient. It says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashores, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. I want to highlight possess the gates of their enemies. Your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemies. This is a time, I believe, again, prophetically, that we're to possess the gates of our enemies, right? That the enemies come in and we want to bind up the strong man and say, nope, not in my life, not in my generation, not in my family, not in my church, not in my city, not in my nation. Amen? The seed of all the nations is such a prophetic picture as he's speaking these words of Jesus. This story reveals the heart, I believe, and the character of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, found in Genesis 15. Abraham obeyed God and was blessed beyond measure, as we can see from that scripture. And the word says that Abraham at that moment became the father of faith. In James, it says he was a friend of God. How many of you want to be known as a friend of God? Amen? Me too. This story also reveals the nature and character of God, revealed in his name, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. You'll see that in Genesis 22, it's actually the only place in scripture where his name, Jehovah Jireh, is mentioned. And yet, I think as you read the word from front to back and back to front, or however the Lord leads you, you see the thread of Jesus. You see the thread of God's provision, him being Jehovah Jireh, him being the sovereign one. Jehovah meaning Yahweh, we've talked about that. That means I am, the beginning and the end, the only, the one and only God, excuse me. And Jireh, the definition there is to see, inspect, perceive, provide, and consider. I love Charles Spurgeon, how he says, he is the God who will see to it. He's the God who will see to it. I think the Lord just wants you to take that in for a second. He's the God who will see to it, whatever circumstance or situation you're going through right now, presently, or maybe it's on the horizon. But I believe he brought me here today because when Pastor Rod asked me 3 months ago to speak, immediately in my spirit, I was walking through my living room and I have a picture on the wall framed. It was a picture that my husband and I gave my mom and dad when they retired. And God just blessed them with this beautiful property in Texas. Had about 6 acres. And my dad, as George knows, is in law enforcement. And there's something about when you're in law enforcement and around people all the time, but not always around people that are really excited to see you, right? So My dad was looking forward to getting away from the people a little bit and out with the wild turkeys and the deer and all of that. And he always said, I want a sign on my property that says Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. So as I was walking through the house, the Lord just quickened me. He said, that's what I want you to speak about. Jehovah Jireh, your God will provide. I think he was reminding me, but I also think he's reminding us as the body of Christ in whatever's ahead of us, individually or as a nation. There was a soberness about this word when I felt it in my spirit. It's a beautiful word. It's a blessed word, right? Like, how great. Jesus is going to provide. Of course, he's a good, good father, like Pastor Rod and the worship team sang this morning, right? He's a good father. Of course, he'll provide. But that's easy to believe when things are going well, right? That's a little harder to take in when things aren't going our way, right? When we're dealing with a surprise diagnosis that we didn't expect, right? That's a little harder to receive. But he is the Jehovah Jireh that carries the idea of God making provision when he sees your need. God sees your need. In the story of Genesis, you'll read of how creative Abraham and Sarah tried to get to create a child, and they created Ishmael through a woman named Hagar. And God, in his mercy, also was the one who she says, he sees me, right? He was even seeing Hagar and Ishmael, even though that's not the place that God had intended to bring the promises of provision for the Lord about, right? But he still saw to it to take care of her and provide for her offspring. I think the question is, in our testing, what will we do? We see what Abraham did, but when you're in the place of testing, what will you do? Will you give God that which you love? If he's asking you, can you imagine what that was like for Abraham? If he's asking you for something that precious, that beloved, that dear to you, are you willing to put it on the altar? Maybe that's your ministry. Maybe that's your profession. Maybe it's a desire of your heart. I really want to do this, Lord, and I think I should be able to. Like, right, we sang about he's a God of freedom, right? But the word also says in Matthew, I believe, when we're saying the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but yours be done. Will we give God that which we love? Will you put your perceived future on the altar and trust and obey the Lord to attain the promises and the purposes for your life? Because here it says in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered his only begotten son. Does that language sound familiar? Of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That's a beautiful scripture there, because I think even what he's saying, from which he received him even in a figurative sense, is because Abraham knew that there is no way that he and Sarah should have been able to have Isaac, right? But he believed, just like God called her dead womb alive, he called their barrenness and the promise forth, he was able to do it. Lance Wallnau, then, I think is just an appropriate statement right here, because he says, stay faithful during the contradiction because God's timing is perfect. You say amen. His timing is perfect. But that isn't that difficult, the contradiction. I think we see it so much even in the word through Paul's life, right? Like, I've learned to be content, whether little or much, whether I abound or I'm abased, right? There's a contradiction that sometimes this journey as believers brings. But there's a testimony of Jesus, of Jehovah Jireh, in the contradiction. God heals, yet you're dealing with the death. You're dealing with a diagnosis. You're dealing with an affliction. God saves, But you have family and friends that actually are far, far off from the Lord, and they're in a state of rebellion. Will you believe him and hold faith during the contradiction? God restores and he reconciles, yet you have children or family members that are divorcing, or friendships have dissolved that have been longtime friendships. God says, be faithful, be fruitful, and multiply. I like this part because sometimes I have the privilege of coming along some single young ladies at my work with Awaken, and I tell them, like, hey, hold out. Be praying for that hairy-legged boy, right? That's how my daddy used to say it, hairy-legged boy. But also you young men, some of you young men in the room that are single, hold out and be faithful, right? If you will put God first, he will bring the desires of your heart. And they may not come forth like what you hoped, what you believed for, and what you prayed. Some people, like Sarah, right, like Hannah in the Word, right? There's that place of desire, and you don't see that being fulfilled. But will you be faithful in the contradiction? Scholars speculate that Isaac was around 20 to 25 years old. Some other scholars say 37. We have Testimony Tuesday at work. And I was pondering when I was reading the story of Abraham, what that must have looked like when God the Father provided the ram in the thickets, and when Isaac came back down and is having a conversation with his two young friends. Can you imagine what Testimony Tuesday looked like with Isaac? Like what he would have been sharing? Like, you won't believe it. Like, this was going to happen. And I thought, what a beautiful testament. You see a lot of Abraham's faithfulness in this story, but I have to imagine it will be a beautiful opportunity when we all get to heaven to actually have a conversation with Isaac to see what was going through his heart and mind, right? Because in essence, he was a young adult, and he had watched his father model, this is how we honor the Lord. We bring a sacrifice. We bring a burnt offering. And then to recognize you are the one that is supposed to get on the... The word does not elaborate, but there is a sense, I think, that he didn't respond in a rebellious way. He obviously had obedience as well to his earthly dad and to this process, trusting that, well, if my dad believes he can bring me back from the dead, perhaps he can. I think that would have been an amazing story, y'all, just to listen to the testimony. So Paul writes, basically, believe in Jehovah Jireh. We have a little bit of a slow delay. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. There we go. In the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he may become the father of many nations. I want you to say this with me. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. God wants you to hold on to that scripture this year. Contrary to hope, contrary to how it seems, contrary to how it looks, he wants to bring hope inside of you. He wants to birth it inside of you. He is bringing resurrection life. It says, who gives life to the dead. Abraham's speaking about this, or Paul's speaking about this in Romans. Yahweh will breathe grace to overcome in your situation. He will see to it and provide the grace, peace, and hope and comfort you need. And not being weak in faith, and he did not consider his own body already dead or the deadness of Sarah's womb. So basically he's saying, don't look at your own limitations. Right? He is not limited by our limitations. Hallelujah. Amen. He did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, say fully convinced, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. He is able to perform it. I love, some of you may remember this, I think I was here a couple of years ago, and I think it was on Grandparents' Day, and I played a little video clip of our granddaughter, and she sang this song, "My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do." You remember that? I think sometimes we need to say that over our situation, right? Whatever your circumstance looks like, he wants to encourage you to say, "My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing he can't do," regardless of how the situation looks. And Isaiah encourages us, "Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength," right? "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint." So while you're waiting, be encouraged. Strengthen yourself with the word of the Lord. Be fully convinced in God's covenant, in Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide for you. He'll provide for your family. He'll provide for your finances. He'll provide for your health. He'll provide for the relationships that you're longing for, right? Kingdom relationships. There's nothing better, y'all, than kingdom relationships. There's something sweet, I think, when we get together with brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? The Bible says it's iron sharpening iron. There's a sparking, there's a joy. It's a little bit of like the giddy up I felt when we were singing Jehovah Jireh, right? Just makes you want to dance. There's something joyous about getting around the body of Christ, right? And encouraging one another in the contradictions of life. We need that. We need that with each other. The people around you need that. Habakkuk shares this hymn of faith. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." Wait for it. "Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high heels." Not the high heels y'all are thinking, right? My friend Deanna here wore some high heels this week at the Awaken Banquet. And those are not the high heels we're talking about, because those are painful sometimes, right, ladies? But he's saying, "Rejoice. I know all this is happening. I know that there's no fruit on the vine. You're not seeing what you've been holding out for your nation or your city or your family or maybe your personal life. But rejoice." Dave captured this picture of me in Oregon, jumping off. He's like, "Hey, jump off." I, of course, would typically not do that, but Dave's the adventurer in the group, so he gets me to do things I wouldn't normally do. But I loved what he captured, because it really is a heart that's saying, like, I think of, like, even Father God being such a good, good God. And you think if, for all the girls in the room and maybe your daddies, perhaps you have this story, or young men, and you were like, "Oh, I'm gonna jump off into Dad's arms." I look back at Bill, and I can imagine Bethany, and Bill saying, "No, come on, dude, I'll catch you. I'll catch you." He wants to catch you. Jehovah Jireh wants to catch you. He wants to hold you. He wants to provide for you. He wants us to live above our circumstances. Deer's feet speak of being sure-footed reliance. Be sure-footed. Have a sure-footed reliance on the Lord in your times of crisis. I do not know specifically what's ahead of us as a nation, but I believe whatever crisis we go through, the Lord's wanting to remind us today, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who will provide. He wants to make you sure-footed. He wants to fill you. This is a year in a greater way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through you and anoint each one of you in the room. I have the honor and privilege to be that voice today, but the reality is every one of you can get up here and do what I'm doing. as you lean in and have a relationship with Jesus and just be used of the Lord to boldly speak his heart and his words to the people around you, the people who are living out this contradiction and they don't know him as Jehovah Jireh. Psalm 37:25 says, I was once inexperienced, but now I'm old. This is Dave speaking. I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not old yet. Maybe inexperienced. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him. Amen. Not once. Nor have any of their children God hungry. Isn't that good news? For those of you who know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this song I asked Karen to play when the message was going forth the last 2 weeks and Pastor Rod was bringing about the sovereignty of God. And I was walking around praying over the messages, but over each one of you. I heard this song in my spirit. And it's the song, He Reigns Above It All. It says, over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name than Jesus, who reigns above it all. Amen. He wants to reign over your situation. He wants to reign over your circumstance. Receive the Ruach of God. Ruach is a Hebrew word which means spirit and breath and wind. Remember Yahweh. Yahweh, God who breathes life. He changes your name. He changes your name, right? There's significance in our name. My name, Vicky, means victorious. I love that when I found it out, because then I could prophesy over myself, like whatever the circumstance or situation, I'm gonna be victorious. Those of you in the room, you have sons and daughters that you were intentional in naming them. There's meaning in the name. The Lord wants to bring back to a greater clarity the meaning of him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. The God, receive his breath for this year ahead and let him breathe his life, beauty, promise, and provision into your circumstance. I believe the Spirit, the Ruach of God, is hovering over that which is formless, which is desolate, empty, dark, and chaotic in your life. Think back to Genesis 1, where the Holy Spirit brooded over the darkness, right? That which was formless, that which was empty and desolate. He is creating an outcome that is exceedingly, abundantly above what you could ask or imagine. Amen? That's our God. That's the God we serve. Stand with me. I want to just pray this last scripture over you. I'm going to read it over you and pray. There's going to be a prayer ministry team up here afterwards. If you're going through something, if you're experiencing something, that you need to be reminded of the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. If you're in the room and you've not accepted the covenant, God's covenant that he gives and sends through his son, Jesus Christ, that is the fulfillment of the story of Abraham that we spoke about today, I encourage you, do not delay. The first of my message was very clear. It's actually a very sobering and serious situation that we all find ourselves in. Should you not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, should you not know him and he know who you are, you will be those that are left outside. I don't say that to incite fear in you. However, I actually hope it does to some degree, a reverent fear of the Lord that would cause an urgency in you to come and say, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by this grace. Isaiah says, for this reason, the Lord is still waiting to show his favor to you so he can show his marvelous love. He waits to be gracious to you. He sits on his throne ready to show mercy to you. For Yahweh is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises. Overwhelmed with bliss are all who will entwine their hearts to him, waiting on him to help them. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that time in heaven looks different than time here on earth. But Lord, thank you for the reminder, Lord, that you are actually waiting. You are excited. You who give good gifts here on earth are nothing compared to the good gifts the Father in heaven loves to give to his children. So thank you that you are waiting to show your favor and your mercy and your graciousness. Thank you for anointing us to overcome this year. Thank you for your double portion grace to overcome, the double portion of grace that's in the room to repent of our sins, to repent of the things that we've put on the altar that you're saying, I want to tear these down. You have other lovers, and I want to be on the throne of your heart and life. Thank you for the grace and the favor to do that for each person. Jehovah Jireh, I know you are waiting to show your favor and grace and your marvelous love. This morning, Lord, would you entwine our hearts with yours? Will you teach us to wait on you, to trust you, and to obey you? Would you teach us, like Abraham, to be your friend? That we'll wait, we'll listen, we'll obey, we'll worship. Whatever you say to do, we'll do. Wherever you say to go, we'll go. Lord, I thank you that you are going to reveal more of the nature of yourself as Jehovah Jireh to each one of us today, throughout the week, throughout this year. We love you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, be blessed.
Amen. Well, thank you, Vicky. That's a great word. Lord, we renew our covenant with you as we enter this new year. We will be, and in our personal lives. Amen. Knowing him anew as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Beautiful. Well, the offer extends now to anyone who would like to come for prayer after the service. There'll be prayer ministry here to continue on with what the Lord has. Otherwise, there is coffee and, hello, there is coffee and I think tea back there if you'd like some in the Tahoe room, if you'd like to fellowship a bit. If you're new today, I'm going to be out in the lobby. I'd like to say hi and meet you personally before you go. Thank you for coming today. So I look forward to seeing some folks out there. Also, I think that, is there any sign up out going? The white elephant for the women. Okay, just want you all to remember that, I guess is the truth. I want to leave you with this blessing as we go. And now may God's presence, who has drawn us here, return us on our way with joy and even favor. And may this day be one of the best ones you've ever had. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, God bless you. Maybe say hi to somebody you didn't earlier. And again, something to drink in the back if you want to. Fellowship a bit. I'll see you in the lobby. God bless you. Thanks for coming online, family. Thanks for being with us today, too. God bless you, everyone.